Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hello, welcome to Brooke's Babbles, the podcast where storytelling meets soul. I'm Brooke, the babbling one to be exact, a marketing consultant and mom running a business while trying to make the most of life's moments. I believe in spreading light, love, and laughter while providing an outlet for storytelling for myself and others. Well, welcome everyone to this episode of Brooke's Babbles. I am here with Michael Stanford of Upstream Financial. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Brooke. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. I'm happy to have you on the show. And I would love to hear more about your background and if you can give us like an introduction into who you are and what you do.
Yeah, of course. Happy to. So I'm a native of Colorado, born and raised in Denver, well, Littleton area. Then went up to school to CSU, met my wife, and we were Focus Missionary for a year and came down to Denver. So now we live in the Parker area and we have a one-year-old. So he's controlling. Yeah, he's going everywhere, walking. Recently learned the word no. So that is super frustrating.
Right.
Everything is no, even if he wants it. Yeah. And then in terms of financial background, so college I did a little bit of both. Did accounting and finance. Fell in love with the finance side, but really what got me into accounting was the consulting side. And so I really wanted to help advise with people. So that's where I really found the happy medium of financial advising, being able to use both, being able to help consult, create plans with others. So I did a little bit of banking, did some time at Fidelity, and now I'm on my own independent financial planning.
That's wonderful. Well, I have to say, as far as your son learning the word no, it only gets crazier from here. I've gotten to the point with my son where I feel like I have to kind of reverse psychology him and be like, yeah, you should do that. And then he'll be like, no, actually, it's a bad idea. So those kiddos keep us on our toes, right?
It's exhausting, but it's great at the same time. He was like, came home from work yesterday, super tired, and all he wanted to do was run and play. And my wife, she had a long day, so it was like tapping you in. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't need to go to the gym. This is my workout.
Right. Honestly, I feel you there, especially with little boys. They really do not stop.
Yeah, we went to King Supers and he was running the aisles, just up and down the aisles.
Sounds about right. Mine does that at church even still, so fun times. Well, what made you decide to go to CSU? I didn't know that you went to CSU. This might be a problem. Rivalry schools.
It's actually an interesting story. So I was going to the Naval Academy, and I mean, the Lord always provides. But right. Yeah, I was going to the Naval Academy, a year of a government shutdown. They took a few seats from the Naval Academy, and I was one of them.
Oh, wow.
And so I had like 2 weeks to find a school in May, and CSU is where my parents went, and I honestly forgot to tell them no, if I'm going to be honest. So offer was still on the table, and that's where I decided to go when I had like 2 weeks to make a decision.
Oh, wow. Well, that worked out. Like you said, the Lord provides. And it's funny how these happy, I'll put quotations around coincidences, happen, because I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason and it's all part of God's plan. So
oh, yeah.
That's wonderful that it worked out that way.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, looking back, and he definitely shut the door for me.
Absolutely. So what, tell us more about your path to the Naval Academy, what kind of your original plan was, and if you always wanted to be in accounting, well, I guess finance, if you always wanted to be in finance, and more about that path.
Sorry, just clarify, you mean the Naval Academy or you mean CSU and finance?
I guess both, like what you switched to CSU, did you know then that you wanted to study accounting and finance, or like how,
yeah.
What was your kind of original career plan?
Yeah, so honestly, I had no idea I was military from like the age of like 8, I wanted to do. So that kind of stripped me of, I don't know, an identity crisis, so to speak. Yeah, I don't know how much, I mean, we're happy to get into it, but yeah, well, honestly, left my freshman year searching for a lot. I grew up a Catholic, but yeah, kind of left the faith, so to speak, freshman year because I had no idea. I was honestly pissed at the Lord that year because it was like he took everything. It was an amazing opportunity for me. So business, honestly, was just something I've always heard you can get a job in no matter what you study. You can figure it out from there if you want to pivot, but as long as you know how to make a company money, you'll have a job. So I kind of just went in with business, not really knowing why or what I wanted. I've always kind of been in tuned or looking back on it, like really being in the stock market, or I always ran like different lawn mowing companies, window washing companies as a kid. So I was always like I didn't realize it, but it was a little bit of an entrepreneur. It was just more so like, how could I pay to go get the baseball cards or like different things. But yeah, looking back on it, I always kind of had that spirit. And so I found those classes super interesting. And then my uncle was a financial advisor, and that's actually who I left and partnered with at Upstream. But it's kind of like a full circle. But yeah, I really got into it. I started asking questions with him. And yeah, one thing led to another. I was just taking classes. Accounting is great, but it kind of seemed a little boring at sometimes to me. So yeah, that was fun, but I kind of just went, I took the next class and really fell in love with finance, did some internships with banking, and realized I didn't want to do corporate finance. I really wanted like the individual personalized financial planning, personal relationship is really what drew me in. So I, just through kind of searching, looking at what made me want to connect with people, and that's kind of what led me to the financial industry.
That's wonderful. And I'm curious about, you mentioned how your plan was to have a military career since the age of 8. Do you remember, was there a certain moment that sticks out in your mind of like when you decided that military was your original plan?
No, my dad was a police officer. And so I always thought that was really cool. But he always said that I can't be a police officer. Yeah, I think it's all the writing on the wall. But he told me if he ever found out I was going to an interview to be a police officer, he'd like slash my tires or just like different things. He would vent it. So I thought it was cool that he was a police officer. And so I guess military was the other, so to speak. It was like the post 9/11 area. You always grew up like the American flags everywhere, patriotism.
Absolutely.
Growing up in that era was just really fun.
Yeah, definitely. So military was the path that you could serve in your plan, but not get your tire slashed by your dad, basically.
Yes, exactly.
How funny. How does he feel about you being an entrepreneur and in finance then? Is he happy about that?
Yeah, he is. My family comes from a line of entrepreneurs. My mom started her own company and my grandpa was. So it's kind of there. Yeah, it's great. That's kind of where my heart for small business is. We can probably get into that, but yeah, it's been great.
Absolutely. Yeah, tell us more about the entrepreneurial spirit, I guess, that seems to run in your family, like the kinds of businesses that your mom and grandpa owned, because I think it is pretty common, actually, for people who are kind of around that growing up, that they naturally fall into entrepreneurship.
Yep.
Yeah, tell us more about that and any like influence that had on you.
Yeah, totally. I guess you could start with my grandpa. So he's a farmer. So he runs his own farm. So that's still its own business. And it's way, honestly, I would say it's way more challenging.
Because
you have to deal with the weather. You have to deal with so many different like aspects of it. So
right.
Yeah, my mom grew up on a farm with like 7 different siblings. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, that's all of them. All of my mom's siblings are hard workers. A lot of them are entrepreneurs starting their own company themselves.
Wow.
That kind of installed the work ethic for them. So their farm was in Eastern Colorado. They got it like pre-World War One, like the land grant era. So
oh, wow.
He came from like a family of 15 boys. They all got land and he just took over the family farm.
How cool.
So that was kind of his business. Then my mom, she's a pediatrician. So she runs her own pediatric office out of awesome. Centennial. So she started that 30 years ago. No, 25 years ago, maybe something like that. Yeah, it was really cool growing up because I remember like when she did it, just the stress that she had. You don't realize it as a kid. You just know she's always working.
Right.
And then now that it's established, it's like an established business. It's like so much more relaxing for her. But I just remember growing up when she was starting it. All of those memories as a kid where she was just constantly going. So many sacrifices she did for the family, but also for her business. So I don't know, looking back on it, the Lord has his own ways. And like he was planting seeds in his own way of kind of like preparing me for my own journey. It's just very interesting.
Absolutely. Even in having window washing and lawn mowing businesses or side hustles as a child, I think that it's funny how even like looking back, like you said, those are kind of seeds as well. And all of these moments prepare us for where we're at. And tell us more about balancing fatherhood, and you have a wife. And so like balancing family life and marriage with entrepreneurship. And if you have any tips or advice or insight that you'd like to share about that.
Yeah. It's definitely a challenge. You can find yourself. I mean, it's very tempting. Ultimately, the goal is to have my wife home. So that's ultimately why we left. And so I started this. So taking care of the family. So it can be very challenging where you can find yourself justifying, if I just work harder, she'll be home faster. But then your marriage and your child don't appreciate that. Right. So you definitely have to go back to like everything being rightly ordered. I feel like you can then be. It's like an easy temptation of, okay, if I put my set time for my wife, then my kid, then my work, then it's fine. But then if you don't have time for the Lord. So, you know, it all comes down to being rightly ordered, having to just like genuinely create a time and a schedule. Put the Lord first, then my wife, then my child, and then like work, everything flows through that. So
yeah.
If I'm not a successful husband or if I'm not a man of God, then like my business suffers or my child suffers or some different way. So yeah, and tips, I don't know if there's a tip I can say other than just self-reflection. It's easy to be pulled in multiple different directions. It's just finding the ways to be rightly ordered.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a great way of prioritizing things, being rightly ordered. I love that phrase that you used. And I think that you have it. You hit the nail right on the head with the order that it's supposed to go. So, I mean, of course, it's a constant balancing act and keeping everything in that order. But you have your priorities straight from what it sounds like. So.
It's not always done that way.
Right. It's what we strive for. Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, you mentioned also that you kind of fell away from the faith in your freshman year. And tell us more about your journey back to the Lord and what led you to becoming a Focus missionary. What a jump.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. My best friend, Nick Van Horn, but he also, the Lord's been in so many different ways, setting seeds. So I went to Mullen High School in Denver. I knew of Nick, but never really met him. He was at CSU at the time. And I was one day probably coming home from a party or something. I ran into him. He was a in between. He was like in school forever, but he was like a missionary, but still in school. I won't get into it, but.
Oh, wow.
I ran into him and he kind of introduced himself and we're like, we both kind of knew of each other, but never met each other. So yeah, he just brought me into honestly authentic friendship. And we had a lot of common hobbies we did together. We fished, we hunted, loved to play poker. He was just a guy's guy. And so that was honestly what I was longing for. I was didn't have the friendship that I desired at the time. And so really just wanted to dive deeper with him. Then I met a lot of my really good friends with him that he introduced me to. So it was just like a slow journey. And then, yeah, as I said, I was a grew up Catholic, but it was Catholic by name only. Never really found the faith for myself. So it was kind of like during that time when I was, I would say super unhappy, super depressed. Yeah, I would say I was depressed. And so, just coming back, and he brought me in friendship, but then like slowly talked to me about the faith. And then I think it was just like one day I told him, I was like, dude, let's not play this slow stuff. Like, I'm either all in or I'm all out. That's just like my personality. Yeah. I was like, all right, I'm ready to dive in. Let's go. So yeah, it was honestly through my prayer life that he taught me how to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And that's honestly what changed everything. It was in college. I prayed holy hour a day for a while.
Oh, wow.
And I would say like, that's where the Lord just like transformed my whole heart. It was just crazy. That's honestly where I kind of felt like he was in every part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
They're sowing the seeds, but I didn't realize it until like through prayer, through getting to know him getting to know me.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, for a friendship, we need to get to know people, we need to talk, but we don't talk to the Lord like he's our friend. So
true.
It's just like, when you start to have that experience, it's like undeniable. So yeah, when I had that, I was like, okay, I have to show everyone. I have to tell everyone. So I just wanted a source to be able to be a missionary, and focus is pretty prominent at CSU. So that's kind of where I went. And so I decided to do that. Loved wanting to share the faith with everyone. And it was a good, call it like arm, or like ability to use those ways to be able to reach and share the kingdom with a lot of people. So yeah, long story short, it was just kind of like through prayer, through getting to know him, that I was like, I want to be able to share this with everyone else. Mm-hmm. So did that.
Awesome. What is it that, was there a certain moment or I guess anything in particular that made you decide that you wanted to share this with the Lord? Like, was it an impact
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I was like so convicted because so many other, I just felt like there's so many other college students that were struggling with the same thing like I have.
Absolutely.
Like, you're always like struggling with your identity in college or what you're made for, so to speak, or like what it means to be an authentic man. I think society has also demasculized men a lot as well.
I agree.
And I was very compelled. Like, I could feel like my desire to want to be in the military was because I just wanted to be a masculine man. It wasn't because I felt actually called to be military. It's just what I thought a man was, like later reflection upon it. So, I mean, nothing to say. Like, my heart goes out to everyone in the military. It was just like my own heart that I found like that desire, really what I was desiring was just to, discover the masculine heart and what it means to be that way. So I felt like there through like my Bible studies, people I was walking with, there's just so many men that were struggling with it. So I was just very convicted to want to share that with more men.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I totally agree that there is. I don't want to, this might sound a bit out there, but like a masculinity crisis almost, and as it relates to identity and a lot of young men as well. And I think that the key to kind of fixing that is to have those groups of people, even if it's an unofficial group, like even if it's just your friend group, just having other people to lean on and to help guide each other in the right direction. There's actually, did you hear about the Inferno Conference this weekend?
Yeah, it's in the Springs.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that just reminded me because I've never heard about that before, but I was talking to somebody else in Colorado Catholic Business Network. And yeah, he was just saying that it's for men, about like how to be more masculine. And I think that we need more resources like that. I mean, on both sides, for men and for women, because there are so many misconceptions about what it is to be a man. And I think that sometimes if we don't have the right community to help guide people in the right direction, I think it can get very, I was going to say skewed. I don't know what the right term is, but basically, yeah, people acting out in the way that they're not supposed to because they're not going from a place of like the true masculine heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. So speaking of Colorado Catholic Business Network, tell me more about kind of your path to joining Colorado Catholic Business Network and your involvement with it.
Yeah, honestly, it's pretty short. So Neil Colucci, he's another Catholic financial advisors in the area. I really look up to him. He's a strong man of faith. And he is one of my dad's best friends. And so just reached out to him because he has an established business. I'm just getting mine going of like different places he's a part of. And he told me about this one. So really short story. He just told me about it, and that's kind of how I got connected in.
So funny. Mine's pretty much the same. It turns out my brother-in-law knows Michael Tilden, and then I saw Michael Tilden at a speed networking event, and then he was like, there's this Catholic group you should join. So yeah, once again, back to the seeds of how the Lord works and everything. Well, something that I have noticed since I've met you and we've talked about marketing stuff and about finance, what really stands out to me is your approach to finance. And with you being Catholic, I think that your values, from my experience working with you, have really been reflected in that. So can you tell our listeners, for people who haven't worked with you before, kind of your approach to finance, and talk about any misconceptions that people might have about working with a financial planner and how your values are reflected in what you do.
Yeah, totally. I think that's a heavy question. The misconceptions are what lead my values, so to speak.
Yeah, totally.
I guess some of the biggest misconceptions people have specifically with financial advisors is they don't have enough money to talk to them. Mm-hmm. They're too young to talk to someone. Like that's something people do who they're retired, something people do when they have business, or like in the world of AI, like they've been finding or they've been getting like AI to create a plan. Now, AI has a lot of good things, but finance is a lot. It's twofold. It's behavioral and logical. So there, it is something you have to like balance between both. One client may be very risk adverse, but they have the ability to take risk, or you have a client who wants to take a lot of risk but can't take a risk due to their financial situation. That I feel like AI can't deem through, because there's a lot of behavioral and emotional connections you have to understand.
So true.
To take into consideration, AI gives the logical, and sure, that's fine, but logically, people wouldn't get into credit card debt if there wasn't something more behind it, or
right.
Like people wouldn't file bankruptcy. So there's so much more that goes behind the scenes, because if we look at numbers will always add up, but it just doesn't connect to some people.
Yeah.
So I guess to answer your question in that sense, the biggest thing is going to be that no matter how old you are, there's always time to create a plan for a financial plan, and you don't have to have a certain amount of money. Now, from those misconceptions that have happened have also come from the industry standards. So I guess maybe with something unique to me, I don't charge for financial plans. It's always through what we implement is, I guess, how I get paid. So that's hard to differentiate.
Mm-hmm.
Some people charge for the initial plan and then additionally what you implement. So that's one of the biggest things I really believe in, like a core values. I really want to touch all. And it doesn't matter if you don't feel like you have any or if you feel like you have everything. I have clients from A to Z. I have clients who are just starting out, putting small contributions, wanting to get out of debt, to multimillionaires trying to pay as much tax as legally possible. So that's, yeah, it's a wide range of clientele that I'm working with in that sense. So the biggest values that I'm really try to add to people is getting to understand them as a whole. What makes them, like, are they more are they more logically based? Are they wanting to know XYZ? I want to buy a house in 5 years. Get me this. Like, mm-hmm. I can save. I can do all of that. Perfect. We can get a plan in place. Or, yeah, Michael, I just can't keep getting, I keep getting myself into debt. How can I get myself out? Now, there's some layers to kind of peel back. In some ways, I'm not a counselor, but it feels like in some ways of trying to peel the layers back of, okay, what are some behavioral aspects? What are some ways that we've done before? How can we prevent this from happening again? Now, it's actually understanding the person themselves, not the logic, because you can say, save this much, prepay this much, and they've been told that their entire lives. Right. So it's really trying to understand what makes each client tick, so to speak. I don't know if tick's the word.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we all have our own relationship or beliefs about money. And so that's really awesome that you, that's what AI can do, like what you're saying, is talk to you about the behavioral piece. So that makes sense.
Yeah, there's so much psychological aspects that go into it. It's like how you raise money that happens. I mean, 50%, I think I saw a stat, 55% of divorces in America are because of money right now.
Wow.
So not only it's separating families, it's separating kids. It can cause trauma for adults, but then also the kids that are there, they know that their parents got a divorce because of money. Then you can see that in later generations,
right?
Or we're seeing that now. So it's just fascinating that, like, money is just such a point of stress for a lot of
right.
people.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and when we met previously, and you mentioned that if you want to share to some of the listeners about your beliefs about money, especially as it relates to people who maybe are Catholic and maybe were raised to believe, like, that money is evil, or share your philosophy about that.
Yeah, of course. I think it's a very interesting dichotomy, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
where it's interesting in terms of, you can look at it where we look at, okay, the desire for money or the internal battle, so to speak, money is bad. Now, there's different ways I think we look at it, because we look at Matthew. Matthew is a tax collector. He was, how did tax collectors, why were they so hated back in Jesus's times? Because they just charged extra tax and they took off the top. So they're skimmed. So that's why he was hated, is he just charged people more and took off the top.
Mm-hmm.
We look at his relationship, then he followed the Lord and gave up everything. So I think that's what a lot of people look at. But then we also have, like, different times of history where financially people have provided, or there have been very wealthy Catholics who are very philanthropic, who are able to give to certain communities or certain nonprofits who have such a heart for the Lord. So each person, I truly believe, is, like, gifted with different gifts to help enhance the whole kingdom, right? So
absolutely.
Some people who are blessed with a great business, having tons of money for them may not necessarily be bad. It's how the Lord's using them to give back to the community. I think it's very fascinating if we look at the Jewish religion. A lot of them, because they've been so excommunicated for, like, thousands of years, they do business all together. And, mm-hmm. like, they are always using each other for one another, like, for same banker, same insurance person, like, same realtor. It's like they use their own community to, like, bolster, like, the money stays within the community, so to speak. I'm like, when they have a healthy community, that's what's kept their business going, because they haven't had as many outside people. So it's just, I don't know, fascinating. If you look like the last 2,000-3,000 years, they've done that when they've been they've just gone through different persecution in that sense.
Yeah.
The Mormon religion does that as well. I had a friend who tried to start real estate business in Salt Lake City, and he stopped after 3 months. He was like, look, I can't get into that Mormon community.
Oh, wow.
So it's just, yeah, it's fascinating in that sense. So that's why I'm going down a huge rabbit hole here.
No, you're fine. This word babbles is in the title of the podcast for a reason. I welcome all of the babbles. So let's hear it.
So anyway, what I'm trying to get at is I truly think with Catholicism, but specifically Christianity, because Christianity is all being persecuted, started doing business more with each other and was able to lift up the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would see more. Like, we're going to start being the minority now. And so we are going to need each other to raise up the kingdom. But then that's also going to mean that we're going to have successful businesses along the way. We're going to have people who have money. And it's not necessarily an inherently bad thing, as long as we're properly using it. Now, it's when we are just wanting the excess, right?
Yeah.
Now, the excess of Lamborghinis, all those things, you know. It's different for people, right? I guess I do have clients with Lamborghinis, but if you look at them, they could be having Bentleys. So it's like, it's a different thing. So I really do think that there's a way to look at it in moderation, and like desiring to be comfortable is not objectively wrong. Like, the Lord desires to give us everything, and He is a good Lord, and like He desires for us to also live comfortably.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, like you said, not living in excess, and money is a tool that the Lord provides for us so that we can provide for our families. And it's totally about where your heart is. Like, if you're just trying to keep it all for yourself, then that's bad, of course. But
exactly. And it's like, I know savings, there's a lot of different views within, especially Christianity and Catholicism, about saving. But I look at it, especially like Joseph in the Old Testament, like if he didn't save during the time, so like he was given the vision that there was going to be 7 years of great harvest, 7 years of bad harvest, like if he didn't save and was able to save the crops, he wouldn't have been able to provide for them and come, he was reunited with his family. That's why everyone came back to Egypt. So it's like, yeah, there are going to be years in everyone's financial life, they're going to have more to save for the years that they don't have as much. That's right. Like, very easy way to look at it. Like, yeah, there's gonna be good times, there's gonna be bad. That's why we have savings.
Absolutely. And back to what you were saying about having Christian Catholic community of businesses too, really believe that. I think, well, and when it comes to career specifically, I think that sometimes people feel like I don't have a purpose because I'm doing something that isn't directly related. Like, I'm not in religious life, so like I'm not serving the Lord or whatever that misconception may be. But I think that you can do what you're passionate about with the gifts that God gives you, like being good at finance. That is not one of my gifts. And so, but like working with people and bringing your own personal values into what it is, whatever it may be that you do, I think that that also creates more of a sense of fulfillment. And when we're more fulfilled, then we do better work. And when we do better work, then we help lift up everybody else in work for the good of what God wants for us.
Totally agree with you. Yeah, I don't know if you would call it hot takes. I don't know if you want to. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't feel fulfilled in what they do because they feel lost, or they feel like they aren't, like they separate themselves and their values from what it is that they're doing. I mean, God made everything, so there's room for Him in everything that we do. Yeah.
Totally agree. Yeah. That's honestly why I left corporate America when I was doing financial planning there. I just wasn't able to wear my faith on my sleeve.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to have those conversations with clients about, like, you know, I'll put the best plan in place for you, but there might be a hole or there might be something, but like, that's where the Lord will provide. And it's hard to tell someone that in corporate America. So,
right.
Why?
I can imagine you'd get some funny looks if you said that to someone there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's also, I can go after the clients. Some clients, they wanted to hear it. Some didn't. It's hard.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. And your values with us today, Michael.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brooke. It's been great being able to talk about all this with you.
Make sure to subscribe for more sparks to light up your life and stay tuned for more. Thanks for joining me today.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.